Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we have a great show for you today. We're going to start you off with Andy Cohen. Andy,
oh
how
God.
Are you?
I'm doing
You're sitting all by yourself
great.
On that side of the table.
I am.
Feel
I'm a little lonely.
Looks like
but I have lots of room.
Looks like a parole board meeting.
Kathy Houston
and
is
it
out
is. Actually, I'll be in court tomorrow.
Okay, more on that later.
Yeah.
Joe Haley, everyone's favorite managing editor, is here. Joe, you're still rocking the green Christmas light 10?
I love it.
I see that. Okay.
I've decorated for the holidays.
It will light the way for our show.
Michelle Bell, editor of Supplier Ooh. Global Resource, is here. Michelle, you just closed the latest issue. What's the hot topic this month?
Michelle's
struggling a little
the
bit.
The hot topic is our sales forecasting survey for suppliers, and the news is good. Sales are up 7.4% in the third quarter, and also we announce our supplier rep of the year, which we are going to announce next week on this show.
That's very exciting. And, of course, Vinny Driscoll is here. He's going to be answering your calls today. The topic is strategies to rev up your sales team for 2012. You want to get a jump
rev
on 2012 right now, and we've got tactics and can answer any of your questions on how to get a jump start. Call Vinny, 215-953-4979. Joe, if we put you on the air today, what are we going to give you?
$25 Visa gift card and hugs and kisses from Andy Cohen.
Oh, it's a special
it's
show.
It's an
here
offer
today.
You can't refuse. No. Craig Veltri is managing our tech booth. He's going to be responsible for the lovely sound effects you hear today. Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, we have seven deadly sins of sales management, that coming courtesy of Michelle, because she knows all about sinning. How can distributors succeed in the future? Andy's going to take a look into his crystal ball and let us know the top meeting mistakes and how to avoid them. Hopefully none of us have done them, but Michelle will let us know.
We each have one, actually.
Ooh. Oh, good. Yeah. Can't wait to see. Are you taking a picture?
No, I'm trying to get cell phone service so I can tweet about the show.
Okay. Should you let employees work from home?
Yes.
Well, we're going to find out, Andy.
Says
if
the
that's
person who actually, works from
we're going to find out if that's actually what the experts say. 10 things you should never say
Uh-oh.
To your boss. Michelle,
does
has that
say
one.
That?
Actually, I think I've done most of these.
Okay.
I look forward to
we'll
that.
We'll present those as a quiz. Which have you said?
Making us proud wherever she goes. We have some other topics to get to. If we have time, our favorite things is on tap today. But let's start it all off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
Rocket.
All right. Thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with positive sales results for the industry. ASI's third quarter report is out showing that distributors increased their revenues by 5.1% in the period, and suppliers grew their sales by 7.4%. For both distributors and suppliers, this was the seventh consecutive quarter of revenue increases. Check out Promogram today for a full report. Yet while the news is good for the industry overall, the largest supplier in the market reported a difficult third quarter. BIC APP, the parent division of Norwood and BIC Graphic North America, said last week that its sales fell by 10.1% through the first 9 months of 2011. On to some positive outlooks for the economy this holiday season. FedEx says it expects a 12% increase in holiday shipments this year. Analysts say the surge is thanks to a combination of economic improvement and continuously increasing online sales. Top 40 financial news now. Distributor firm Boundless Network says it increased its revenue by 22% in the third quarter. That gain follows an 18% increase in the second quarter, and it brings the company's annual sales total to $44 million. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what's hot for today?
What's hot? Something to keep your hands warm. How about some knit gloves?
That's hot.
I mean, people don't think about gloves for promotions, but I think they're a good idea.
Coming up on the cold season.
You got it.
All right. Well, we're going to get to today's big topic, strategies for revving up my sales team in 2012. If you want to rev up your team sales or just get some ideas on how to rev up your own sales to get ready for 2012, give us a call right now, 215-953-4979. If we put you on the air, we'll give you a Visa gift card. And on line one, we have Massimo. Good morning, Massimo.
Good morning, guys. Listen up. I need your help. I have a sales motivational meeting I'm trying to plan. I have a pretty small staff, only a few full-time folks. How would you go about structuring this meeting, getting ready for 2012? What kind of things should I be doing?
All right. Andy, you're our motivational guru.
I am.
What should Massimo be doing?
First, I would say
that you need your meeting to be off-site.
Absolutely.
You
got
to get everybody out of the office, first of all. Correct?
Yeah, I would go off-site. I would include some fun aspects to the meeting and also some serious business planning, looking at ways that your salespeople can approach their clients in new ways. You know, maybe they are looking to get more business from current clients, or they're trying to open up new avenues, new channels to explore. So I think a little planning in advance, depending on what your salespeople are trying to accomplish in 2012, might go a long way towards creating an agenda that is more targeted to what their needs are.
I think the planning in advance is key. We do that for editorial meetings. Yeah. We just had a retreat, and you know, people had a lot to think about, and kind of they had to come and actually present ideas at the meeting. And I think, you know, with a little thought beforehand, you're going to get a lot more out of the meeting.
Yeah, I think for salespeople especially, taking a look at their client list and analyzing, you know, what their opportunities are for 2012 is important right now. And that's something that they should probably do in advance of that kind of meeting, so that everybody can kind of help each other on ways to approach clients.
The other thing is, you said your sales team is small. How about inviting some other folks at your company to the meeting? I mean, sometimes the best ideas, revenue-generating ideas, don't always come from salespeople themselves. There might be marketing folks or customer service people or people who deal with your clients every day that might have some ideas as well. Most importantly, give out prizes, right, guys?
Yes. Yep. Reward great ideas.
Salespeople are competitive.
Yep.
And you should reward them with prizes. So I hope that helps you, Massimo.
That's great. I'm going to have some prizes, too. I'll let you guys know how it turns out.
Please do. And have a great day. Stay on your line for your Visa gift card. And on line four, we have Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, folks.
Are you geared up for 2012?
Well, I think you're always gearing up for the next day. This is thinking a little further ahead. My comment that I wish a former company I had worked for had done is we always had sales contests, but it was always driven by, you know, what area the company wanted to grow in, and that's fine. But I think in a sales contest, everybody that participates ought to win, right? So everyone has incentive. So I'd like to see companies set a goal for each individual, and each individual on reaching their goal or a certain level towards their goal should get some kind of a reward. The company I worked for was one person walked away with everything and the rest of you got bucked, you know.
Yeah, so, no, Bob has a great point on incentive planning and how companies come up with incentive plans for their salespeople. You want to create goals and objectives that are achievable, you know, and that's the biggest demotivator for salespeople when they come into a contest or they go into a year believing that their objectives can't actually be achieved. Then they have no motivation.
Or that one person's going to run away with it all, so there's no point in trying.
Right. So that's a great point by Bob.
Well, great. Thanks very much, Bob, for calling in, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thanks.
On line one, we have Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I kind of had a question about in sending out just ideals, I guess, for future items. Is it a negative in sending too many ideals out where it may be confusing as far as in them selecting, or should it be a selected few and then as it goes, just continue to send some rather than a large amount of suggestions at one time?
Well, I think you want to definitely tailor your suggestions. If you just throw too much at a client, they're going to be overwhelmed. But what do you think, Joe?
Oh, I agree. You know, focus on what the client's needs are. You know, what do they want? And then you have this great idea. It might only work for 25% of your client list. So only send it to those 25. Just constantly keep in touch with people. And I would do it maybe monthly or bi-monthly. And everyone doesn't have to get every idea. You know, why does someone want to do something? Well, you find out why, you can fit that need, then you can send them, you know, your solutions for whatever their needs are. If someone doesn't have that needs, then it's going to be kind of become like white noise, and it's, you know, or like spam, and it's like, oh, I don't want this. And then you don't want that to happen to anything you send after this. So I would focus a little better.
And I would always send ideas in the context of a case study, not just, you know, a bunch of products. But here's, you know, what I did for a client like you. And
right.
How it worked. People really, really like the case study approach. And it positions you more as a marketing expert.
Sure.
And Joe, I have two clients that I'll never send, you know, a specific. It's always, I'm looking for something in this number and this price range.
Right.
I think you got to whittle them down. Why that number? Why that price range? What are you trying to achieve what's your objective with this promotion, with this giveaway, with this handout, whatever it is. And then maybe you might be able to steer into something smaller quantity but at a higher price point for you, you know, margin for you.
Yeah, I think Joe is right about trying to open up the conversation a little more and get more out of the client. You know, find out what their business goals are for the promotion. If you can get that, you can provide a lot better solutions for them.
I actually talked to a mom and pop video rental store back 15 years ago when they were very popular, and they had a distributor that showed up once a year and said to them, "Do you need more pens?" That was all he sold them, was pens. And they never talked about maybe creating a frequent renter program where everyone would get a punch card, and then they could, and then they would get an imprinted product with that, or a refrigerator magnet that had the number where they could reserve the new releases and stuff. It was only just, can you have pens? And you know, when we talked about certain ideas, the shop owner was like, "No one's ever talked to me about that." So if you can help find out what they want to achieve, what their goals are with their business, with their promotions, it might help you better, you know, target something for them.
All right. Well, I hope that gives you some good ideas, Joe. Thanks for calling, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
All right.
It's not too late to give us a call today at 215-953-4979 to talk about how to rev up your sales for 2012. On line four, we have Kim. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. I'm calling because I am a small business, and we're definitely in a growth mode, and I'd like to add start a sales team. So I just wanted some ideas in terms of how to add a sales team.
So you currently have no salespeople working for you?
Right. I'm doing it. I have an assistant, but pretty much I don't have any dedicated salespeople.
Well, I would think that the first thing you want to do is probably, I mean, you could put an ad in the paper. You could go online and go to a job site that is recruiting salespeople. There's a lot of sales recruiting sites. So you could post that way. But I think that that's a little bit shot in the dark. You may want to start by talking to clients, seeing if they know of any people who might be looking for jobs, going to local colleges, you know, and getting people who are just graduating looking for jobs.
Or how about an intern, for starters?
Yeah, you could do an internship program with a college and try to test people out that way. I would say that if you're just hiring your first salespeople, that I would keep them as inside salespeople, so they're kind of making calls, you know, outbound calls and receiving inbound calls, but they're not necessarily the on the road salespeople yet. I think that they probably need to learn the business a little bit, and you probably want the opportunity to train them. So, I would suggest, like Melinda said, local colleges, intern programs, and trying to start small a little bit, and then let that kind of build on itself.
Good luck, Kim. Thanks so much for calling today, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card. It's not too late to call us, 215-953-4979, to talk about how to rev up sales in 2012. On line two, we have Katrina. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Good. Well, I was wondering what you think. Basically, is it worth it to take all my salespeople out of the field for a day to take them on like a bonding or motivational retreat? It sounds like a good idea, but I'm not sure if it's worth taking them away from sales.
I think it's absolutely a good idea, and I think it's an important thing to do. But I would think that you would want to make sure that you get good revenue generating ideas out of the thing. You don't want salespeople to feel like they're wasting their time.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a reasonable concern. Salespeople often balk at the idea of being out of the field for a day or 2 days, whatever it is. So I would say plan it far enough in advance that they know that they're going to be out of the office that day.
And not at a busy time.
Right, at a time when your business is you know, maybe slower than other times during the year. And make sure that it's really worth their while, you know, so that they come, like we talked about with, I think, our first caller of the segment, you know, plan in advance so they have specific challenges that they want covered, that, you know, things that they want, that they know that they can get actionable strategies out of, that they're dealing with on a day-to-day
basis.
Yeah,
I mean, any training that you can give them that's going to help them sell more is going to be valuable.
Right.
Now, we actually have homework we have to do prior to our retreats.
We do.
Yeah, and we get that assignment well enough that if we have to work in groups, we have time to work in groups, meet several times so that when we come and make our presentations, hopefully we're doing.
And the key thing about that is our presentations are then better, and we actually use a lot of the ideas.
Absolutely.
And when people see that the ideas they suggested at the retreat are used over the next year, then I think they feel that it's a valuable thing and they'll want to go back and do it.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, good luck, Katrina. Thanks for calling. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thank you.
We had a Facebook question today as well for the team. This is from Judy Brown. Judy says, a few of my clients insist on ordering the same items year after year. While it's nice to have that business, I'd like to get them to look at some other ideas. What is an effective way to nudge customers out of their comfort zones? Michelle, what do you think?
I think two things. I think send them mailers that utilize other products so they can see how they're used. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice combination of a self-promotion.
Some people
as a case
aren't creative.
Right.
They wouldn't, you know.
So many times when people do self-promotion campaigns, they actually sell that same campaign to clients. The other thing they should do is invite people in for an open house and let them see the different products that they have available.
Oh, that's a great idea. Joe, I see you.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Just, you know, unless you ask, unless you show them something else, I mean, they're always going to buy the, you know, the ham and cheese sandwich, you know?
Yes.
Give them a little corned beef.
That's what they're
going to buy. A little corned beef, a little hot roast beef, hot pastrami. But, I mean, that's the thing. If they're used to buying this, but you just say, okay, and you take the order. Yes, it's nice to have the order.
Wow,
but,
you've got really – Andy really laughing at me.
Now I'm hungry.
But, you know, if you just write the order, then you become an order taker. You're not showing them what else you're capable of, your creativity. So I agree with Michelle. Use your own self, you know, promotions. Send them mailers. Also come with ideas. Do the good, better, best.
Absolutely.
So if they're just buying, say, a polo shirt, show them the shirt they have, something a little better and the best value. They might nudge up to the next thing. So you might
so
still have that.
So even if they're still buying the shirt, you're at least getting more, you know.
More on the margin.
Higher end deal.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely. And, you know who uses that approach? I talked with a distributor in Nebraska. I think I've talked about this on the show today. They always use that approach with Warren Buffett when he's picking items for their Berkshire Hathaway shareholders meeting. You know, he wants something really cheap. They come in with three things, good, better, best, and he always goes for the best.
Yeah.
So if it's good enough for Warren Buffett, it'll work for other people.
And I don't think anyone would be offended by that. Say, look, you know, we can write the order. Here's the order form. However, what about this? And this is how this will work in your promotion.
All right. I hope that helps. Judy Brown, thanks for writing in. Michelle, I think you have an email or a Facebook question as well.
I do. And it is from – actually, it's a comment. Mm-hmm. It's from Billy Bauer, the marketing manager at Royce Leather Gifts. And he's talking about how sales teams can work better with their sales managers. He said they should have a common understanding of where they are expected to hunt for growth and how they are expected to achieve that growth. Like the coach of a winning sports team, the effective sales manager constantly monitors the activities and key metrics to identify areas where salespeople are not optimizing their performance and work with them to do better.
Oh, smart idea. All right, we're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, and when we return, Michelle's going to tell us the seven deadly sins of sales management.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteu.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we're talking about how to motivate your sales team for the upcoming new year. And speaking of sales management, Michelle's going to give us some what not to do's right now. Michelle, what do you got?
There are seven of these, seven deadly sins, like the from the Bible, but we're only going to talk about three of them. One is, you know, at times at companies, there can be conflicts with marketing teams and sales teams.
Sure.
They tend to blame each other for lack of performance, or if a campaign goes bad, the salespeople have issues. If sales performance is down, the marketing people have issues. So one of the things that the experts suggest is exactly what we were just talking about, getting these people out of the office and having them do team building exercises together, because they're much more apt to kind of help each other, make allowances for each other. If one, you know, if the marketing team's kind of struggling, sales can maybe pick up the pace to help them. They're much more apt to do that if they've bonded outside of the building. The other thing is one key area where companies fail time and time again, and we know this, poor recognition programs. And one of the key things that experts say is that it's really important to let people know that everybody has a chance to win something, that it's not just, you know, the key superstars, that it's not just people who have been there for a certain period of time, that everybody has a chance to be recognized and to be acknowledged, that that's really important to, you know, getting everyone to perform at their optimum level.
I think that's so important. And that's a point that I think our caller Bob was making earlier, is that you lose salespeople so quickly if they have any inkling or any idea that they can't reach the goal that's mm-hmm. been presented to them. And if there's only, you know, like Bob was saying, if there's only one winner to an incentive program, what does that do for your company's sales? That one person probably blew it out and did great and helped your overall revenue. But what about the other people? They're completely demotivated.
Yep. Two other things. If you're making changes to your sales process, remember that salespeople by nature tend not to deal well with change. So you need to give them a lot of time to kind of adjust to the changes and cut them a little slack. That their numbers may dip a little, but they'll come back once they get acclimated. Last but not least.
Let me just add on that. Compensation yeah. plans, too. People fall into traps of changing compensation plans mm-hmm. all the time, and that messes with salespeople's heads.
Absolutely.
like no other
Absolutely.
Thing. So if you're changing processes or comp plans, be careful with how you do it.
The last thing I would say, which kind of piggybacks on that, is poor metrics. People really, you know, the people who wrote this article said that they found it staggering, the people who don't have any metrics at all. Let's assume that some people have metrics. Are they really working? Are they looking for specific things? Identifying high and low performing reps, how to develop solutions to those problems. So that's something maybe for 2012 you want to put high on your to-do list. Get a good metrics program in place. And we'll put this on our website at asicentral.com/radio.
Great tips from what not to do from Michelle. Thanks, Michelle. Andy, we've been talking about the future. You have some more ways distributors can succeed. What are they?
Yes, indeed. We have an article coming out in Counselor's November issue, and it's called Distributors of the Future. And it looks at 20 things that distributors can do right now to succeed within the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years or so. So we're looking a little forward. I'm going to give you a few of these ways, and we'll post the article to our website as well. The first is to be adaptable to new technology, and most importantly, new ways to reach clients and communicate with clients. You know, you have to know the ways that clients want to be communicated with, and it could vary from one client that you deal with all the time to another client that that you don't deal with as frequently. They might have completely different ways that they want to be communicated with. So you have to know exactly how they want to be communicated with, and you have to be able to use the technologies to do that. So social media is obviously important. If you're not, if you're not familiar with social media and mobile media, then now's the time to really do it. Don't get left behind by others that are certainly taking advantage of that. The next one is to sell on ROI. Clients really need to know the value of promotional products and see the return that they're getting on their promotional programs. So, don't be afraid to use ROI as a selling tool. It's a way that you can convince clients that that the money that they're investing with you on the business that they're doing is actually of value. So make sure you're proving the return that clients are receiving. And lastly, become more of a marketing agency. We talk a lot on this show about how you can get more business from current clients. This is the way to do it. You have to have ideas that aren't just about promotional products, but are other services. So present any kind of other marketing service and become the agency that your client is looking for. They need a partner. They need a marketing partner. They might not have as much time or resources dedicated to marketing. That's where you come in. You're not just a promotional products vendor, but more of a marketing agency. And I think if you can approach clients in that way, then your relationship will expand and you'll be more valuable to them as a resource.
Those are great tips. And as Andy said, there's 20 tips
there
on
20.
How to be the distributor of the future in
yes.
the November issue of Counselors, so be on the lookout for that. Joe Haley,
yes.
Lots and lots of distributors work from home. Mm-hmm. Is that a good idea?
It is.
Good.
According to an expert at USA Today, the money section, he says that, you know, the reasons that people do is that it works for them. It's how they've always done business and it's comfortable. You get up, you put on your fuzzy slippers and all that. And he also says it's a mistake for companies in today's business world not to allow their employees to do it. One, telecommuting boosts morale. So, you know, you don't have to take that hour and a half ride into the office every day, Andy.
I
you get a you're going to recruit a better class of employees because a lot of the younger people are used to having done this in their first and second job. It's little cost to employers, and it's a more productive employee. You save money on rent, utilities, those sort of things because you don't have that overhead you have to pay. If people are telecommuting, you don't need as big as an office space. You also can use independent contractors more often with people who work from home, so you're not worrying about all the benefits that you have to pay for. So they offer some tips of how you should do this. You should start slowly. So if you've never had an employee working from home, give them one day a week, every other week for a month, and then you can increase that.
Let's see how it goes, because not every single employee is good at working
out. No, I don't think so either. Have a specific deliverable. So in other words, they need to know what they need to accomplish while they're working from home. You know, you have to make sure that they're doing what they need to do. Have them check in. Although we're all adults, you still need to have them check in to make sure that they are working. And finally, he says, have them be available, just like they would be available in their office, you know, at their cubicle. They need to be available at home. So
that's a big thing. If you send an email or a call, you're going to, you know, need a call back.
Absolutely. So he's saying
you're going to want a call back. Yeah.
Well, no, but it's, I mean, you know, you expect them to be responsive for sure.
Yes.
Well, I think that the point is if you have any doubt about their responsibilities or their responsibility, rather, then working at home might not be the right thing for them.
Right. Our expert says that in today's world with the technology that's available, that more companies really should be doing this because it's available and it's
practical,
motivating.
And it is a motivator. Well, thanks, Joe. We're going to put this article from USA Today online at asicentral.com/radio so people can get more tips on how to maximize employees working at home. Michelle, what are 10 things you should never say to your boss?
And ooh, here we go.
You said Let's you've see said what most we've said. Of them. Let's go through them quickly because I want to hear all of them.
Sorry, I missed the deadline.
Oh, I've never heard that in a magazine before.
You're hearing it now. You're
Sorry,
hearing it this week.
Wow.
Yeah, we don't like to hear that.
That happens here all the time.
Actually, I've never said this one, but if some people have, that's just odd. I'm way overqualified for this job. Don't tell your boss that. You should, anything that you need that needs to be done, you should really step up to the task.
That's them's firing words. that's someone who has a bad attitude and doesn't want to work there. And if someone said that, they're off the list.
You got to get your hands dirty.
What else, Michelle?
Sorry, I'm late for work again. Actually, it doesn't apply to me lately, but in my heyday.
You've never apologized for it.
Well, that's true.
I love sorry I'm late for work.
Again.
So you're acknowledging.
And then number 10, and what they count as the most grievous, and I have done this, actually, to which Melinda will attest. If that is the case, then I'm resigning.
Yeah. Yes, we take that with a grain of salt.
She's resigned more than I don't know why.
You never want to throw down that gauntlet.
Michelle,
these nice experts
has been
say.
Known to resign on many different occasions.
On taste it ends with why.
Give us one more.
This is not my problem, and this is not my fault. This is not my fault, they say, is a common one, and it just says it's an example of shoddy or incompetent work ethic.
Yeah, that, refusing to take responsibility.
Exactly.
Yeah, the whole not my fault thing.
That gets real
Nobody
old
really
with bosses real
cares
fast.
Necessarily. They care more about the solution.
Fixing the problem. That's exactly right.
And you should take responsibility, honestly, even if it's not your fault. You can still find a solution. And you'll be seen as even more valuable.
Here's a gutsy one in this economy. I should be getting paid much more.
Yeah.
Oh, love that one. Excellent. Yeah, me too, buddy.
Get in line, sucker.
I think we have just enough time for the editor's favorite things. Joe Haley, why don't you start and tell us your favorite product of the week? And these products are all up on asicentral.com. Radio.
This is from Norwood. Norwood ASI 74400. It is
a fleece blanket
that comes in a little carrier. It's going to be great this fall when you're
going
out.
It matches my
to your daughter's soccer games. You're going to wrap up and stay warm. Great for the automotive industry. You buy a new car, put that in the trunk. I think people would enjoy that. Great holiday gift for people because it reminds them to stay nice and cozy warm these coming winter months. So.
And who makes this?
Norwood. ASI 74400.
I like that one. Michelle, what's your favorite thing?
Okay, my favorite thing, I don't know if you guys know this, but I have a deep love and affection for pets in costumes and clothes.
Oh my gosh.
It slays me every
Wait,
time.
Pets in costumes?
Or little clothes, like pets in little clothes. That kills me.
Can
anyway.
You dress up your cats?
Only because they won't let me, but I would try. I really would.
She can't catch them.
I can't catch them. So American Apparel has these
She runs
new...
around with a feather on a string.
These new...
One of her cats is like 100 pounds. Surely she can catch it. Sorry.
American Apparel has these new little fleece little coats because it's getting cold out. And my idea would be that the Lowe's Hotel has something called, wait for it, Yappy Hour, where you can bring your dog and have happy hour, and the dogs get little ad specialties. Wow. So you could have these little coats at Yappy Hour.
Going back to the topic of a few weeks ago, this is why I don't want a dog.
So, all right, American
I don't
Apparel.
Want to dress my dog.
35297. Yappy Hour.
Andy, what's your product of the week?
I can't top Yappy Hour. Mine is going back to the idea of being up on technology. Mine's a charging station that doubles as a tray for change or keys. So it's a great desk accessory. It's available from IMC, which is ASI 62820. And you can see that on asicentral.com/radio right now.
You can. We are out of time. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to today's show sponsor. I promote you. Tune in. Next week, of course, but in 2 weeks, guess who's going to be on the show? James Carville, who's going to be one of our keynoters, along with Bill O'Reilly in Orlando. So mark that on your calendars 2 weeks from today. Have a great week, everyone.
Peace out.